This is August 23rd, 2020, Sunday Satsang. It says, pure devotees undergo many hardships and tests in their lives. Are they also in an endless cycle of births and deaths? So I want to speak something about karma and a sadhaka's journey to perfection. This is kind of technical, this philosophy. First of all, the pure devotees are undergoing many hardships and tests. Their bodies are, but they're not affected, it doesn't affect them. And the pure devotees are not in the endless cycle of births and deaths. Well, this Padma Purana explains about stage of development. Most people are experiencing happiness and distress as a result of their prarabdha karma. But in the case of pure devotees, it is due to God's special arrangement. According to Padma Purana, karma appears in various stages of development. Karma acquired over lifetimes is stored in an unmanifest stage known as aprarabdha karma. When this stack of aprarabdha karmic reactions begins to manifest, it is called kuta. From the stage of kuta, karma develops into a seed-like stage known as bija. This bija stage of karma appears as one's disposition and desire. When the seed stage of karma blossoms and actually manifests in our life, it's called prarabdha karma. Once this prarabdha karma has blossomed, it must bear fruit. Although karma in its earlier stages of development can be destroyed by spiritual practice, once prarabdha karma must play itself out. One who has attained knowledge of the self witnesses the expiration of his prarabdha karma while remaining unattached to it in the midst of the happiness and distress that it brings about. The pure devotees, they're witnessing their karma, but they're not experiencing the good and bad. You can see the description in Bhagavad Gita. They describe about the pure devotees are like they're liberated jivan muktas. In chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, from verse 54 to verse 72, Krishna's answering Arjuna's questions. He said, so what is the symptoms of sthita pragya? Well, one is sthita pragya means he's fixed. His knowledge is fixed in his spiritual identity. In other words, he's a jiva mukta. He's liberated. Jiva mukta means atma is liberated even though he's within the body. So those verses describe how they, because Arjuna says, what is the characteristics of one who's sita pragya? How does he speak? How does he sit? How does he move? And all those descriptions also apply to pure devotee. His mind is unchanged amidst happiness and sadness. He's free from desire, free from anger. Renounces all desires. Like that. You can read that. So the pure devotees are not overwhelmed by delusion from sorrow that produces lamentation, nor is he overwhelmed by the sense of delight from happiness, causing him to hanker for its recurrence. Both the experience of sorrow and happiness alone are a result of prarabdha karma. The enlightened souls, the pure devotees, they don't indulge in lamenting or hankering, lamenting over their suffering or hankering for more enjoyment. The indulgence on the part of the unenlightened souls is what perpetuates their karmic involvement. It is their unenlightened response to the prabdha karma, because the realized soul is merely witnessing the expiration of his prabdha karma. He does not indulge in lamentation hankering, and further, which will further implicate him in the karmic circle. His ability for go such indulgence is not a mental adjustment, it's the result of realized knowledge of the true position of the Atma. So the devotee's position in regard to prabdha karma is slightly different than a self-realized jnani. A bhakti alone has the power to change one's prabdha karma in this life. This is told in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Part 1, Chapter 1, Verse 17 through 26. 1, 17 through 26. Bhakti, bhajan, has the power to change one's prabdha karma in this life. Bhakti uproots, by uprooting the foundation of ignorance that underlies all karma, and also bhakti places one under the charge of God. The pure devotee is not concerned with liberation. He's concerned only with serving God. Having destroyed his karma in the order of uprooted karma, he's destroyed by bhakti bhajan. A pure devotee has destroyed his karma, is aparabdha kutambija. But God, Krishna, arranges for the pure devotee to stay in this world as long as he wants, as he sees fit, as long as Krishna wants it, for the remainder of his life or for several lives even. Krishna does this by preserving his pure devotee's prabdha karma and infusing him with divine shakti. When God desires to take his devotee from this world, because he can't bear the separation from him anymore, then Krishna distributes that devotee's pious prabdha karmas remaining to those who love him, and any impious prabdha karma to those who oppose him. Impious prabdha karma. So a devotee's body, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells himself in Antilila, on Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila, verse 191 through 193, he says, one should never think that a devotee's body is material. A devotee's body is transcendental, is made of spiritual substance, chit shakti. At the time of diksha, when a devotee does atma samarpan, offers himself to God by surrendering to Guru, Krishna makes the devotee equal to himself, his atma sama. Makes him equal to himself. He makes the devotee's body spiritual, just like his own, so that the devotee can engage in the service of his lotus feet. That's a key point. So the devotee's body becomes transformed into something spiritual. You see, even the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a karma mishra bhakta. He was doing bhakti, he was chanting, he was meditating, he was chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narada Muni was his guru. Dhruva Maharaj was in Dhruva Tila. He was on top of a small hillock in Mathura. He was in Braj Mandal, Mathura Mandal, on Dhruva Tila. He was meditating and had great yogic powers. Karma Mishra, Bhakti. But he had so much power that he was controlling the whole universe. And finally Vishnu appeared to him. Came out of his heart. He was meditating on Vishnu in his heart. Vishnu came out of his heart and touched his cheek, his kapola, with his shank. With his conch shell, he touched his cheek. And Dhruva offered all kinds of prayers. And then it says in the Bhagavatam that Dhruva, in his self-same body, returned, went to Vaikuntha. He got liberation. So Vishnu comments on that pastime of Dhruva. This was revealed by Krishna to show the spiritual position of a devotee's body. although this is an unusual example, but we should appreciate that even the bodies of sadhakas, practicing devotees, take on a spiritual quality in proportion to their absorption in bhakti. As a sadhaka practitioner, the body is both material and spiritual at the same time. Eventually it becomes completely spiritualized. Its apparent death is a divine illusion. When the form of a departed devotee, when the devotee leaves this world as attained prema, he attains his spiritual body. So this is the point. Sadhaka's body is transcendental, spiritualized body. They're not in a cycle of birth and death. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe.